Let me get set up here. If you want to open your Bibles to our memory verse for tonight, which is this month, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We will be camped out there tonight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a verse that I've known probably for the most of my life. I grew up in a Bible-believing church, and I remember memorizing this for these two verses as a Sunday school kid. So when I looked at the list, and it was my turn to do a family fellowship night, and Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 was behind it, I panicked. So I know these verses very well, and I know some of you know these verses very well. And so what was I going to be able to say that somebody, you know, we don't already know? So thankfully the Lord used a fellow believer to remind me that we need to be reminded over and over again. And as in 2 Peter 1:12 says, "For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in present truth." That did help with the panic a little bit, but not much. So, but also, the word of the Lord, which these verses are part of, or the word of God, is designed to be a living and powerful, and to be able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And once you know it, as I prepared for this well-known verse, I was reminded of some things I already knew, and I learned something new. And hopefully by God's grace tonight, I will be able to communicate that clearly to you. So let's get started by looking at our Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." So let's get to the context here. First of all, let's turn in our Bibles to Proverbs 1. We see that our verses are found in the book of Proverbs, and we're told the purpose of Proverbs in Proverbs 1, 1 through 4. Verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. To know wisdom and instruction, to receive instruction, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. The specific purpose of our verses tonight is found in Proverbs 3, verse 1 through 6. This is all one paragraph, and let this just read this one paragraph. Follow along as I please read. Proverbs 3, 1 through 6. "My son, do not forget my law. Let your heart keep my commands. For the length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Specifically, we see that Solomon is communicating to his son and to us, the readers, wise and useful information. So as we look at this verse tonight, I'm going to try this pen thing here. You just write on it, or a little A down here. Learn something new tonight. So, as we take a look at our verses as we're up there, what I want to highlight tonight is the word trust, lean, and acknowledge. These are all verbs. Two of these verbs are commands, and another one is a reflexive verb, which is very interesting. And we find that three of these statements, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean on our understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, The subject of these is you, referring back to my son or us, the reader. So it's you trust in the Lord, you lean, you acknowledge. And then in the last statement here, we have a subject of he, and that's going to be referring to the Lord. So with that in mind, let's take a look at Solomon's instructions and promise to his son and to us, i.e. the reader. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now the word trust is exactly what we think it means. Have confidence in, to rely on or believe in a person or object. This word trust here is in the imperative mood, which means it's a command. Solomon is telling my son, and by extension you and me, trust, you trust. This is a command. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And the word all means whole or total or the totality of an object. So trust with all, and with what we're supposed to trust in is with our heart, which is the inner man or our mind and soul. Just for information, the word Lord here is Yahweh, and it's the most frequent personal and proper name of the God of Israel. So we can see by this statement here that we are commanded to be and exhorted to trust, believe, put our confidence or rely on with our whole mind and soul in the Lord because of who He is and what He is. Now, before I go any further, I want to clarify that these verses apply to the saved person or the saved individual. A person that is saved from the penalty of sin because they have already believed in the good news of the gospel. But before we get to the good news of the gospel, I want to share the bad news of the Bible. The bad news is that you and I are sinners. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The absolute righteousness of God cannot put up or abide with or wink at sin. And the justice of God demands a penalty be paid for sin. The sin in our lives is what separates us from a righteous and holy God. And He's going to stay separated from us until that penalty is paid. The penalty for sin is death or separation. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. We have no means to pay this penalty unless we want to die, or let alone pay the penalty for somebody else. Some might say, well, what about my righteousness? Doesn't that count for anything? What about my good works? First off, our good works do not cancel out sin or the penalty. Isaiah 64:6 says, the Bible says about our righteousness and good works, is we are like an unclean thing, and our righteousness are like filthy rags. We can attempt to pay our own penalty by hearing to the list of do's and don'ts, or make assumptions about God, such as I just heard. We all get there, we just have to wait to cross the river. That's an assumption that is not based in the Bible. People make a lot of assumptions that are not based in the Bible, or misunderstand the Bible and make assumptions about God. And they hope that God will be impressed enough with them to let them in. This separation of sinner and holy God is manifested physically when we are born, because we are born spiritually separated from God. And if this spiritual separation is not fixed in our lifetime, it becomes an eternal physical separation from God in a place called the hell and eventually the lake of fire. The bad news of the Bible is that we are in a bad spot and we need a Savior. The good news of the Bible is God is love. And He sent a Savior that was able to and willing to pay our penalty for sins. This person is Jesus Christ. And he came to earth as a man some 2,020 years ago. He was born. He lived an absolutely sinless life. He was qualified to pay for our sins because he didn't have any. And his death on the cross was a satisfactory payment for our sins. And it was proven by his resurrection because God said, you got the job done. Good job. 1 John 2:2 says, and he himself, speaking of Christ, is the propitiation for our sins, not of ours only, but also of the sins of the whole world. The work of Jesus Christ satisfied God's justice. Now he offers us a gift, eternal life in heaven. We have been saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works lest anyone should boast. Acts 16:31 is a response to the question, what must I do to be saved? And that response is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Once you're saved, you are spiritually connected to God. And you can live with, not separated, but with God, and God can be an everyday part of our lives. Tonight we're looking at two verses that answers how this is done in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We've already seen the first statement, trust in the Lord with all their heart. Secondly, we're going to see the second statement, you lean not on your own understanding. The word lean here is the verb of here, and it's a reflexive verb, which means to support oneself or to make comfortable for oneself. Figuratively, it's an attitude of trust. This word lean here carries the idea of comfortably leaning or resting yourself on something. And to have trust or belief in an object to the point of being jeopardy if the object of trust fails. So if I lean against this podium up here, I'm trusting it to hold me up. So as I lean on it at a certain point, it's heavy, it's in place, I can lean against it and it's going to hold me up. I'm trusting it to hold me up. Now this verb lean is not in an imperative. In fact, it's a complement of the word trust. But before we get back to that, I want to answer that we are told what we are not to lean, on our own understanding. So as we look at the word understanding here, lean means to rely on, make comfortable. It's an attitude of trust. Sorry. The word understanding means knowledge, wisdom, insight, or discernment. As I thought about this, all the fact that this word lean is not an imperative like the other two are, I wondered what was Solomon had in mind here. And I have came up with two things. My thought process was this. The verb lean reinforces the verb trust by further explaining or giving us an example of what not trusting in the Lord looks like. Or knowing the tendencies of people, it is corrective in nature. If we are trusting in the Lord with all our heart, by default, we would not be leaning on one's self-understanding. But by saying lean or depend or do not trust in your understanding, he's given an example of what not trusting with the Lord, in the Lord with all your heart is. So that could be one thing. Secondly, the statement, lean not on your own understanding, is corrective in nature, because the person that he is writing to in this case, specifically my son, maybe he's thinking, well, my son has a tendency to lean on oneself has the tendency to trust in his own understanding. once he understands something, he gets comfortable with it and he leans on to his own understanding. Whether it's his accumulated knowledge, his understanding of a subject because of the experience or the study of it, or just having the ability to understand things and events and get through them, is discernment. I can understand what's going on and react. Versus, I've looked at this or I've studied this, I know everything about it, so therefore I understand it. This second type of thinking is something I experienced recently with my daughter. During the early, this last cold snap we had, I would instruct or command my daughter to go get warm clothes on because she had to go to school. About two, three days into the cold snap, I started saying, go get warm clothes on and no short sleeves or shorts. Or I'd do it in a positive. Go get warm clothes on and make sure you have your arms and legs are covered. If she understood to just go get warm clothes on, in my mind she would understand to be get warm clothes on. But I had to define what warm clothes were not or what they were. I'm not sure which way Solomon intended, but I can see how both ways could be effective. It is clear from this statement that we are not to rely on, depend on, or comfortably rest in our own insight, discernment, or understanding. Other translations okay. So to make a point of this, and came up with a picture. This would be how some people would define the word lean. And Solomon is defining the word in Proverbs 3:5, according to verse 5. The word lean is defined this way. Do not lean on your own understanding. This guy is just hanging out. So, if something happens to his understanding, there he's on the floor. So I hope that makes, it's kind of a goofy picture, but I hope you understand what he's trying to explain here. Do not lean on your own understanding to the point where if it fails, you fail with it or you go with it. So, other translations. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. Okay, the third instruction we see is acknowledge Him in all your ways. And the verb here is acknowledge. And this is an imperative. We are commanded to acknowledge Him, the Lord, in all our ways. Acknowledge means to know, either or learn to know, or to find out and discern, or to recognize. So we are to know Him, or we're to learn to know Him, or to find out what He wants us to do and recognize. The word ways here is metaphorically, and it stands for actions and behaviors. In all our actions and behaviors, we are to acknowledge Him. We are commanded and exhorted to know, to find out when we don't know, and to discern what the Lord is and His will is for all our actions and behaviors. The next and last statement that we see tonight is the result of trusting in the Lord with all our heart and leaning not on our own understanding and acknowledge the Lord with all our actions and behaviors. And this is the promise. He shall direct your paths. This word direct means to make smooth, make straight, or lead straight along. To make right, to make smooth, to make straight, to lead straight along. This carries the idea of making a linear movement with a focus. This movement has no wandering or turning from this course, and it implies there's a purpose. So you're moving along with purpose. We're not wandering around. We have a purpose. We have a course set. We're going. We're not turning left or right. This word path means lifestyle or your course of life. Other translations translate this as, think about him in all your ways and he will guide you on the right paths. As I thought, one of the questions I thought about and as I studied this is, why should we take to heart or apply these verses to our life today? First of all, these two verses are part of the Word of God, which means they have purpose and reason, which is stated in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Secondly, the truths found here in these verses are true throughout the ages, from Adam and Eve in the garden to us in the church age. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I've had these two verses memorized since I was a young kid in Sunday school. And I still learn something new about myself, and I learn something new about our God. This should not come to a surprise because Hebrews 4:12 states, for the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. And one thing I learned here is, what really stood out for me is, He shall direct. In the past, I understood that like He was pointing the way. There you go. There's your path. There it is. What I understand now is He is directing. He's literally leading me along this path. As I trust Him with all my heart, acknowledge Him, I do not lean on my understanding. He is leading me straight along a purposeful path. So this really stood out for me in this study is, this is an active, He, the Lord, is actively directing or leading us down our paths. It was very encouraging to me. On a side note here, I thought about an Old Testament Jew living under the law and how they would look at this verse and say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. In the Old Testament, it was trust, it was obey and be blessed, and disobey and be cursed. So if they trusted in the Lord and acknowledged Him, they could expect physical physical blessings. And their life, their lifestyle, their current physical lifestyle, they could expect to be easy or made smooth or straightened out. Now we as church age believers, we can be being directed by the Lord, and our life can be anything but easy. In fact, it could be downright hard. But we know we're being directed by the Lord because our blessings are spiritual. The Apostle Paul is the great example of this. When we trust in the Lord with our entire mind and acknowledge Him in every aspect of our life and do not rest comfortably on our own insight or discernment, we can know the peace of God no matter how bumpy or crooked the path is. We know that the Lord is in charge and He loves us, and everything that happens to us is okayed by the Lord Himself and is working itself out for good for all in God's time, with the ultimate goal of Him glorified and you and me becoming more and more Christ-like. These are wise instructions that Solomon wrote to his son, we saw, and by extension to us today. We are commanded and exhorted to wholeheartedly trust or rely on the Lord for who He is and what He is, and know and find out and discern the Lord in all our actions and behaviors. In contrast, we are not to lean on our own understanding. And the resulting promise, the Lord will continually will lead us straight down a straight, purposeful course of life. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways you shall direct your paths. And that is all I have.